listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work for the Archdiocese of Chicago in the Young Adult Ministry Office. I am delighted to be with you today. I love listening to our song. I could just sink into that for a while, that we might have life, and that's what this is all about. I am here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you?
I am fine, thank you.
That's
How
great.
Are you?
Well, I'm good.
You know, that title never gets old. Have I said that before? Those of you in school, stay in school. It's really worth it once you get that piece of paper.
Kate, you're going to have to tell them a story that it cost you $100.
Yeah, after my master's, I told Father Cusick, I was done, never again, I was done. He said, no, you're going back. I'm like, no, I've had enough. He goes, no, you're going back. So we bet a dinner, and I lost.
That's right.
It was a nice dinner. But, okay. So, right. Father Cusick, what's going on today?
Well, we have a wonderful opportunity. We are revisiting what we call our radio roundtable with some wonderful people who have gathered in our department in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We are the Office of Young Adult Ministry is a part of the Office of Parish Life and Formation. Monsignor Richard Heinz is our director. And this is really the department that brings together all the people, not all, but I would guess most people involved in some type of pastoral ministry within the diocese.
That's right.
And so it's got the Office of Family Life and the Office of Councils, Christ Renews His Parish, the Office of Immigrant Affairs, Hispanic Catholics, it's the Office of Peace and Justice, the Office of Respect Life. There's just a number of all, and we are the people who work with the parishes and also resource to the people of our diocese a variety of ways to do different types of ministry, whether it's dealing with people in some form of a relationship or one another, or how a parish can engage governance in a very sensitive kind of a way, with the increasing presence, by the grace of God, of Hispanics in our diocese. I'd say there's probably well over 100 of our parishes, if not many, many more.
140
parishes that... That
and 50 are, Polish.
And then we've got everything. I mean, it's really. And so our radio roundtable, Kate, which we began a while ago, and we have brought back with us today Elena Segura and Mary Lou Gonzalez, who are a part of the Office of Immigrant Affairs. And that's really one of the newest of the offices created by Cardinal George in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we are really blessed by his vision. Mm-hmm. To say that this is a critical issue, as we know in our country, and most certainly here in the Chicago area. And we have also with us, as a return visit, Rita Kattner. Rita is the director of the Office of Parish Councils, Governance, and also the wonderful program Christ Renews His Parish, which is really a spiritual formation program that exists in an awful lot of our parishes. Elsie Radke is on my left. And Elsie is in the Office of Family Life, which is utterly critical to the life of our church today, mm-hmm. and the many wonderful things that she does. And the newest member of our not anymore. We've got somebody who's even newer than Father Marco, but Father Marco Mercado is with us today. And last year he was appointed by Cardinal George as the director of the Office of Hispanic Catholics here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So, Kate, if I can be so bold, let's use those two words to our friends. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
We're blessed by your presence. We said, Kate, that what we wanted to do the next time we gathered, and that next time is now, we would like to take the wisdom of the people who are here and the ministry that they bring to it to see how we together can offer some very practical strategies to our parishes to engage younger people in the life of the church. Folks, let's be honest. In a lot of our parishes, we are looking older than we ever did before and fewer in number. Mm-hmm. Now, if we want to have a future, and I believe all of us really, really do, faith is that important, at least it is to me, we have to put out our hands and welcome, invite, and encourage the next generations to be a part of Catholic life. I've said time and time again, if we don't, not only will we be speaking to the choir very soon, but the choir could become a soloist. Mm-hmm. I think it's that serious right now. So with that being said, Kate, is it okay if we just open it up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's open it up. And just as a reminder, if anybody... Well, we're basing this on Cardinal George has asked all of our parishes to look at particular topics for our upcoming years. It's the strategic pastoral plan that will be put in place starting on in July of this year, July 2011. And he's called this the Year of Teens and Early Young Adults. So we're looking at doing a better job of connecting with those in their teen years and early 20s. And we just want to open the conversation to our guests now and talk about, you know, again, practical pastoral strategies. What can our parishes do?
What can the people at this table offer as suggestions to our parishes? And for those of you who are listening, if you are parish staffs, we ask you to take some notes. And for those of you who are not on parish staffs but involved in church, we're going to ask you to encourage your parish staffs to upload this show, which is at the yamchicago.org website.
Yes.
And you can download it, and it could be a great staff meeting mm-hmm. for people. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's pick the wisdom and the genius and the ministry of the people
John, how about if we were to start with what you just said about welcoming them and reaching a handout to them? I know that to be seen is something that a lot of teens kind of like to avoid. Young adults, too. I mean, they want to be seen, but they don't want to be seen. So if we greet them in the back of church, and if it's a lackluster greeting, is that honoring them enough? We live in a celebrity culture, so do we need a little bit more pizzazz and warmth to our welcome? I know when the priest stands up at the altar and says, you know, turn around to someone, introduce yourself and all. Well, so that's really fine. And the young adults are often, you know, just only talking to each other, almost as if they're afraid sometimes to engage with the rest of the community. So can we be a little bit more effusive? Can we wrap ourselves around them in a little bit more welcoming way to where they're at instead of where we want them to be?
Well, I would even go further. I'm going to get real gutsy here. I think we have to create an atmosphere of hospitality. You know, we're talking, Elsie Radke, that was who made that insightful comment. I just don't want to talk about those who walk in, because let's be very honest here. We're talking about a clear majority of people who are not walking in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I believe they're not walking in, and this is where I want to throw this out to our assembled guests, is that they don't believe there's anything there for them.
Well, is it because all we do is apologize for things?
Why isn't there thing? Why do they have that attitude?
I think a lot of times it's because our parishes always talk about the fact that we want to get young adults in, but we don't. We're not welcoming. And I tell consuls that if you really want to, and you're going to plan, and you want to evangelize, then you've got to start out with some kind of a welcoming, and that means welcoming throughout the whole system. Don't just talk about it as something, oh, this is going to be, we're going to be welcome. You got to welcome in the clubs. You got to welcome into new things. You got to have opportunities for people to come together and talk to each other. You know, all around, because if your leaders are not welcoming, church on Sunday is not only going to do it. You want to get them to church on Sunday, and if you're not welcoming all the way around, and invite your neighbor. I work with the youth council, which is the high school kids, and they're always saying, the best way to bring my friends back to church is when I say, come with me. And the same thing when in the neighborhood I live in is all kinds of young adults. And we have to go out of our way to be welcoming to them in the neighborhood, because they're not going to even come to the church unless we're all the way around. It can't just be come to church on Sunday and then nothing after that. We say go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Well, that means when we leave church on Sunday, we take the Eucharist to the community.
And Rita, just to add, when you say offer them, welcome them at Mass into clubs, welcome them into service opportunities.
Yes.
People love to,
they love to serve.
Time and
they,
talent,
exactly.
They want to,
they
do,
want
that.
To do it.
Yeah. And it
you
may take more than one invitation.
You many know, times.
Kate, we have a resource in our Family Ministries office that may, for anyone that's in parish life, involved in parish life, it's called How Family Sensitive Is Your Parish? And one of the things we do is we ask parishes every couple of years to go through this as a staff development thing. It's available in Spanish and English, and take a look at how you're serving not just the youth, but perhaps the elders in the community, you know, because we often get focused on a ministry and forget that there's other people that don't necessarily fit into those boxes. Yes. We're really good on bereavement and grief. How are we on baptismal prep, you know? How are we on divorce ministry? There are very few people that ever expect that to be a reality in their life. Right. And if we're doing something like divorce ministry, how are we ministering to the youth who have been affected by their family's divorce? So the How Family Sensitive Is Your Parish is a tool that any parish can use. They can download it from our site, familyministries.org, and it's a great discussion starter and assessment tool. To see if we're really doing what we say. Like Rita says, we say it, how are we doing it? Let's make it a systems-wide infiltration here.
I also think that there's a real need to realize that we are seasoned ministers and be able to step aside. Mm-hmm. In order to step aside, then you really are becoming welcoming. Mm-hmm. Okay. To step aside and say, you know what?
Trust the process
itself. Let it go. They can do it. They are willing to do it, and they're committed to do it.
Right. And they have the skills to do it.
And they have the skills to do it. Right. Exactly.
Let me just interrupt there, because I want Marilu to go deeper into what she's saying. We talk a lot about the immersion program. This is a beautiful thing. Just answer your question from John. What could we offer to the parishes? What kind of strategies? For me, is experiential education. Mm-hmm. Young adults, youth, any of us, but anybody, particularly them, they have to touch, they have to see and touch. Yeah. And then a lot of transformation happens. So I'm going to ask Marilu to go in details, because this is a wonderful, for me, I've been touched, I've been moved, and I think God is talking to me for something that I did not expect. This was a second trip, but the impact now, not just here, but I think in 2011, it overwhelms me with joy. And I want her to go into details about that specific 12 young adults who went to Mexico last week.
Last year, 2010. The trip itself is a holistic trip, which really gives a view of faith, you know, in our position as the institutional church. It also gives a view of government, of what that means and why the policies exist within immigration in particular. And it also is one of development and formation and conversion for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't make the decision for them. They get the entire view of everything from visiting Homeland Security to actually going to the Kino Project, which is a Jesuit-run organization on the Mexican side. And then we stay in a church. I stay in a church in an air mattress, and it's not comfortable, but, hey, they love it, and that's okay. And then we also do formation in the process and a lot of reflection. And that in itself helps them to see things. I think the important part of the trip is that process of their own growth and their own development and their own understanding of what this means and why is it that the church is even involved in this purpose, right? And how that fits within their own life. it was amazing to me, in particular, this 2010 and also 2009, but more 2010 because they raised the money. They organized, you know, where we were going to go, and they made the contact. I just gave them the information. They ran the formation sessions. They took with them, and this is an amazing thing, they actually took with them more than 5 suitcases filled with shoes, gym shoes, that's really needed for the migrants, especially when they get deported or they're in the hospitals and things like that. They took with them medical supplies, because that's a huge need within the process. And all of it was donated. All of it.
Sure.
And that was theirs. They did that, you know, and it wasn't mine to do. So I think in the reality of it is, that is a process of experiential learning, because it is hands-on. And they're touched, and I'm touched.
Changes their lives.
Sure. And it converts everything.
Now, Mary Lou, if people listening to this in their parishes say, boy, you know, I think I could really benefit from gathering some young people and involving them in that kind of a journey. Could they contact you?
Absolutely.
And you could help them?
Absolutely.
With the skills of this?
Yep.
How would people...
They can contact me directly.
Okay.
In our office number is 312-534-8103. That's
so
my direct line.
The Office of Immigrant Affairs is 312-534-8103. And you're going to ask for Mary Lou Gonzalez.
That I will answer the phone.
There you go.
Okay. Let me just add one little thing here. We're talking about an immersion program to the border, right? Now, we also have another program. You don't have to go to the border.
Sure.
You can do an immersion program here in the city. Right. So get in touch with Marie Love. It's easier. There's right. no cost at all, but there is a direct
But the
experience.
Wisdom here is, if people listening mm-hmm. want to engage and involve their young people, you are there to help them put that kind
exactly.
of a thing together.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrific. The Office of Immigrant Affairs and Mary Lou Gonzalez direct number mm-hmm. is 312-534-8103.
And we thank you for listening. We are going to take a short break, or maybe not. I don't see Michael in the studio,
no,
Father.
I don't
so,
think so
our
we're
producer
gonna,
stepped
so we
out, so we're going to keep it going.
Let's keep it
there
going.
There we go.
That's
right.
good.
So, John, and one of the things that I think is key, at least so far, is for us as a priest. Many of us, I don't know about your experience, but in my experience, I became a priest and I was touched, even though I wasn't like one of the young people who used to go to Mass every Sunday. Well, I used to go because my mom took me, and I, as I said a long time ago, that was one of the non-negotiable things. You have
right.
to go to church. But also, that was when I got impressed by a priest.
Right.
And I wanted to be like that guy, Father Gustavo. And I think it is also a huge question for all of us priests. We always complain that we don't have vocations. We always complain that young people, they don't want to get engaged. We complain that young people, they don't want to go to church. So if we are the ones in front, if we are the ones presiding the sacraments, if we are the ones presiding the Mass, maybe we have to ask ourselves, is because of us? We are not engaging enough? And this is the point for me. I mean, we have to be very reverent when we celebrate the Mass. But reverence doesn't mean being boring and be away, I mean, being far from the people, especially from the young. And I mean, at one point is we are not being seen as role models.
Well, sadly, oftentimes we're not being seen, period.
At all.
That's
exactly.
right.
I mean, oftentimes we are seen perhaps presiding at Mass, but when Mass is over, Father disappears by the side door.
Yeah.
He's not present to his people in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. And every time less and less parishes, they have youth ministry, and if they are doing a car wash, for example, how many times do you see the priest washing one or two cars with them?
Lay ministry is not the excuse for the disappearance of a priest.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It means that together we are church.
Yes.
That there are different functions and different roles. That's St. Paul.
Yeah.
You know, there are many parts in one body.
That's right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're the parts. And some are ordained, you know, some are hired, some, but we're all a part of this thing.
Yeah.
And I think, Father Marco, that's the giftedness of Catholicism, mm-hmm. that we have a variety of roles and functions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is to pray. The first lay youth minister in the Archdiocese of Chicago many, many years ago said, my job is to make Father look good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he said, we are not to compete. We are to complement mm-hmm. one another. And so you're right. If there's a youth group car wash, well, then, Father, get your shorts on.
Yep.
And get out there with a sponge. Seriously. And if there's Mass, then I want the youth minister right up there with me, too. So it works and plays both ways.
It's about relationships, absolutely. Father John. It's and Father Marco, that's what I'm hearing you saying. It's having a relationship. And young people today, old people today, everybody's hungry for relationships. Mm-hmm. And so how do we break down our own personal barriers, our church barriers? How do we have the conversation around the water cooler at work about what it means to be Catholic? Where are we giving young people talking points to have outside of the church community? We have a new tool that we got from the Institute for American Values talking about why marriage matters. Let's have those conversations. We tend to think people don't want to get married anymore because the numbers are dropping. So why does marriage matter? What does it mean to be Catholic in getting married? What does it mean to be Catholic and to be in service to your community?
Right. I think there are a number, and I want to see what your reaction, folks, is to this. There are a number of why questions which are being asked and which need to be answered by us in local parishes. And Elsie, you just hit on one of them. Why should I be married? Number two, why should I be married in the Catholic Church? What we are picking up in our office, Father Marco, is a number of people, because they're so influenced by the popular culture, destination weddings. I want to be married on a beach in Cancun.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
I know.
Right. You know, and in some ways you can't blame them,
sure,
but
is.
Why are they saying that? Because that is what is in front of their eyes, and that's what they're hearing about. So I think and another one of the why questions I think is critical. This is critical to young marriage, young parents, young singles. Why should I go to church?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is honest to God.
No.
Anybody listening to this, what would you say if someone came up to you and said, why should I go to church? What would you say to those people in a very clear, direct kind of a response? So I think younger Catholics are spiritually hungry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're hungry for relationships with their church, not to be taken for granted, but they want to know why. And I don't think the answer is a law or a rule. As important as those things are among us.
It's a discussion.
It's a discussion.
It has to be a discussion.
A discussion, and it has to be a spiritual practice that works, that makes sense.
You know, I grew up in this crazy Southside Irish Catholic family, and both of my parents were well-educated, and my mother was a very devout Catholic and never questioned anything in the authority of the church. My father, on the other hand, took me aside once, and he said, Elsie, he said, question everything. He said, don't take anything at face value. He said, think it through and own it. And it was a good challenge to put out there. And I think today that we don't want to be questioned as church. And I think, as Father Mercado said in another conversation, was that it's in those conversations that we teach.
Right.
It's in those conversations that we learn. And it's where we break open the word and we see Christ in the moment. It's quite an interesting challenge. I don't think we're necessarily having the discussion well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know in our parish, though, when we do the program called Christ Who Uses Parish, it's an opportunity for these young people to come. Most of the groups these days are young adults. Mm-hmm. And it's a place that they can ask the questions and they talk. And every meeting has a theme. It's an opportunity to share scripture and to learn a little bit about being a Catholic. What is it? Because that's the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's the difference between being a Catholic or being a Presbyterian or,
right. Good point.
You know, just whatever is out there. I don't know if there's any difference, right? They're all things that are good for me. And so we don't talk enough about what does it be a Catholic. It's a wonderful thing. And when they get to know about it, a lot of the kids, when their boyfriends are going through the RCIA or their girlfriends in the RCIA, and they go along with them, learn all kinds of things about the church. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. The last few Christ United Methodist Parish weekends we've had have been the lay director has been a young adult. What an opportunity, a spiritual director, to walk with that lay director to let them lead the group and what they learn in between. You know, they need that opportunity. Relationships, mm-hmm. but it's the opportunity to come and learn about what it is, learn about the Eucharist.
You know, people that aren't Catholic often can give us such insights into the rich, rich traditions and practice of our faith. I met a young man from Utah last week, and he's a researcher. He's a young dad with three kids, and he took me aside, and he said, I teach family life at Brigham Young University. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And he said, and I want to tell you, he said, I'm very impressed with the integrity and the quality of Catholic Church teaching. You people have it right.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know we have it right, but we don't necessarily have the proper conversations mm-hmm. to help to get that good news out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And you are listening to The Light Show right here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. It is time for us to take a short break. Thank you for being with us. We will be right back.
Thanks to our guests for joining us around the Radio Roundtable.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our guests from the Department of Parish Life and Formation. We are delighted to have so many wonderful people in the Archdiocese that are here to serve our parishes. That is what we do. Let us be a resource to you. We want to help you every way that we can. So you're always welcome to call our office at 312-466-9473. Again, Young Adult Ministry is at 312-466-9473, or jump onto our website, yamchicago.org.
And Father Marco Mercado, who is director of the Office of Hispanic Catholics, if people, Father Marco, needed to contact you or chose to contact you, how would they do that?
Well, they can do it to my office, and okay. I got to take a look at my business card, because I use it. I don't call
numbers.
That often to
yeah,
my office.
To yourself.
But they can contact me at 312-534-1080. Once again, this is 312-534-1080.
And for those who are young and technologically savvy, do you have a website?
Oh, of course. They can they can go to the webpage in the diocese.
Okay. Archchicago.org.
And then click on Spanish, and it's going to take them to the one of the links is the Office for Hispanic Catholics,
okay.
And here they are. Or they can email me to mmercado@archchicago.org.
M-E-R-C-A-D-O at archchicago.org.
You got it.
And very your good. Hispanic ministry website will lead them to the Hispanic Young Adult Ministry website.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's
that correct.
Right.
Yes.
So there's two
okay.
of them there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And we have Mary Lou Gonzalez and Elena Segura at the far end of our radio roundtable, the Office of Hispanic, Office of Immigrant Affairs. My apology, Elena. If people needed to contact you, Mary Lou and you were talking about these immersions, whether they be in Chicago or whether they be across our country. How could people get in touch with your office and certainly the two of you?
For young adults particularly, would be 312-534-8103.
312-534-8103, and
mm-hmm.
that's
for Marilu. Marilu is the
direct
one
direct line, mm-hmm. and that's the Office of
Immigrant Affairs.
Immigrant Affairs. Mm-hmm. Very good. That would be the best.
And they could also email me directly
okay.
at mgonzalez, two Z's, okay. at archchicago.org.
So that's mgonzalez.
Perfect.
Right.
Thank you.
At archchicago.org. Two Z's. Okay. And if people were concerned or interested in listening, Rita, about Christ Renews His Parish and the spiritual formation that is found in that, but more importantly, I think, just in terms of how do we integrate younger Catholics into the governance of parishes and so that their voices are heard through parish councils and things of that, how would they get a hold of you?
They can call 312-534-8364.
534-8364 with an area code of 312.
Yes.
Great. And if they needed to connect with you technologically, how would
they
do that?
It'd be rkattner, K-A-T-T-N-E-R, at archchicago.org.
There we go. Rkattner
yes.
at archchicago.org. And Elsie Radke, the Office of Family Ministries is such a critically important part of our archdiocese, and you and Frank Hannigan and so many other wonderful people there. Because you said, and I, you are right on the numbers, all of this stuff we're talking about is all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what you people are doing is about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a Hispanic section in your office, and you've got a Polish. I mean, you're a big deal.
Yep.
We're trying to be.
I know you are. You are a big deal.
Okay.
How would people connect with you folks?
Well, probably the most comfortable way would be through the website, which is familyministries.org. And we have a very well-designed website that has a lot of good content on it, and
right.
it got a lot of good links. If you wanted to call, use your phone, 312-534-8351. Again, that number is 312-534-8351. And if they wanted to connect with me personally, it would be my email is eradtke@archchicago.org.
Okay, that's eradke, R-A-D-T-K-E, at archchicago.org.
Yes, sir.
Now, the website, Family Ministries, is plural, so that's FamilyMinistries.
Yes, sir.
.org.
Yep.
Okay, we got that. Mm-hmm. Now, for all of our specific websites, and Kate, you've mentioned ours.
YAMChicago.org.
They all, if you don't, you can't remember all of this, just go to archchicago.org. Mm-hmm. Look under agencies.
No, yes. It's under departments. It's under departments.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Shows you how much I look. But I really do. I'm
but it's
sorry.
An alphabetical listing, so you'll scroll through it.
But folks, we say that because Kate and I are so blessed to be with these people today and with our department who does such tremendous things for our church. And we are so passionate because we have to have a future. And the future always, people have said, and Elsie, you've heard this one out of me for I don't know how long, young adults are not the future. They're the present.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, right. At mm-hmm. one time, that age group was the present part, the driving force of Catholic life.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, let's do that again. Father Marco, in another show we did, mention that when he was pastor of Good Shepherd for 8 years, that he just engaged all these younger people who were part of the parish, and ushers and lectors and every kind of thing. And folks, the vitality mm-hmm. that brings to parish life, the way it connects. Someone said, if you're one age group, you're a group. If you're intergenerational, you're a community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the goal of church is always to be a community. Mm-hmm. So we can't be old on Sunday and young the rest of the week and say, we are a community. No, you're not. So come on. We are very serious. And the Archdiocese, as Kate mentioned at the beginning of our show today, in lining up its strategic plan, its first crack is to youth in the early years of young adults up to the age of 24. That's how serious this is right now for us as a church. The future is now. And that's what we're here to say today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Read up.
Definitely. I think we have to, the future is now. It's not coming up. I got involved at the church for a council by going to a meeting because I wanted to see what this thing was all about. I had no intentions of really joining it. I just was curious. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of our young adults are totally curious about wanting to be a part of it. The councils are about planning for the parish present in the future. It's not to keep looking back what was. It's let's move forward.
Exactly.
So if we don't bring some of the folks in, we need to hear your voice. We need to have you on the councils, all of them.
But Rita, a question for you. In that setting with the council, and that's something I need to learn maybe, is there openness of pastors to the young adult voice? I don't know. I'm just asking you.
I think if the pastor really understands what the role of the council is, the council is a planning body for the parish. So he's to consult with the people of his parish, and his parish has got young people. They're not, everybody is not older. You know, we have to look for them and invite them in. But right. If he's open to consulting mm-hmm. with the folks, then he'll hear a new voice, and that's important. So I don't think a lot of times they're not, sometimes our pastors, unfortunately, just don't understand mm-hmm. what the role of the council is. They know they have to have them, but they don't know what it's for. So once they get to understand that, they have to listen to who's there, mm-hmm. who's out in the community.
Right. Well, and often the people in the community don't trust themselves to be faith-filled people, which I think is a misnomer. I've talked to young moms that really don't feel they're qualified to step forward in the parish life, or they're not qualified to lead their children into the Catholic faith practices. And I think we have to empower these young 20 and 30-year-old parents more, that their experience is valid. How have they experienced faith in their life? How have they done a service project in high school or had their senior retreat that was so meaningful? And that's good enough. You know, people seem to think there's a standard where the bar is so high we can never reach it. And I don't think that's what Christ has asked of us. I think we're supposed to be working at it. We're a work in process. And trust your faith understanding and your relationship with God, which is going to change over all the different periods of your life. Every decade, you're going to have some kind of a renewal or a new conversion. And trust that. It's okay. There isn't a right way or a wrong way. And step forward in your faith. Step forward in your church community. Become a member of the choir. Get your young kids together and make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the PADS shelter. You know, you can be involved in ways that suit your family life. And that will bring the faith forward in your entire family dimension.
Yeah, and do not be afraid. I think this is the words of the gospel. Do not be afraid, as Jeremiah says in the chapter first. Don't say you are too young. And for the staff people and the pastors, don't say they are too young. Mm-hmm. I mean, do not be afraid. Take the chance. Welcome them and make them part of the parish life and listen to them. Make them feel that they are part, and you will get surprised in how much life you are going to get out of the presence of all these young people, the vitality, and challenge. And probably that's the problem. We don't like to be challenged. And, well, if we want to get challenged, we want to get them, we want to get the young people involved.
I have to share a very goofy young story that we had this Christmas. My son was saying grace before meals on Christmas Eve, which floored me because I didn't expect the 30-year-old non-participating Catholic to do that, and did a beautiful job. And he talked about Jesus in our life and how we're celebrating his birth today. And my 2.5-year-old granddaughter is listening to all of this, and she says, "But Uncle JJ," she said, "Jesus is missing," because baby Jesus in their house was removed from the crib and someone lost it. So you know it's the 2.5-year-old. Well, first we laughed, but then a whole conversation evolved around our table with these 20 and 30-somethings talking about, you know, Jesus is missing in the world. How do we find him? You know, what does that mean? Aren't we lucky to be here? It was truly a moment of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't have orchestrated something better, and that was brought to light by a 2.5-year-old who mm-hmm. was listening to the words of the older people around the table.
Yep. Elena, when you asked Rita about the pastor mm-hmm. and then bringing younger people mm-hmm. in, I'm going to say something challenging, and I don't need to offend anybody who might be listening. But oftentimes, it's lay leadership which blocks out mm-hmm. older, younger people. Not intentionally, but let me give an example. This past fall, Elsie, I was invited to do a morning of reflection for women and men who were ministers of care. A local Catholic hospital invited me. And there were over 120 people. It was wonderful. Oh, Father Marco, these are people who, their job is to bring the Eucharist to hospitals and to people in their parishes. What a blessing. I looked around the room, and I discovered there was one person under the age of 40. There were 120 wonderful, wonderful committed people who bring the Eucharist to those who can't come to us. So in Jesus' name, we go to them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our challenge. When it comes time to find other ministers of care in parishes, please, let's personally invite these younger people. Elsie is saying, these young moms, do you know, part of bringing Christ to others is to bring yourself, not just the Holy Eucharist.
That's right.
And to bring somebody who's 30 years old who can talk about their kids to somebody who have great-grandchildren, it's a wonderful blessing to do the intergenerational spirit. That's congregational life. That's mm-hmm. community.
And that's in every aspect
absolutely.
Of the parish. Mm-hmm. Because I have a story of a young girl who's very young, and she's in our parish, and she really searched to become a communion minister. And everybody kept closing the door on her.
Exactly.
And that was, it's just not right. You know, that's not Christian. That's not what our faith teaches us. And that process of welcoming was not there. But she didn't give up. She didn't give up. So she opened the door. And she's now a communion minister.
But sadly,
and I'll tell you, she's the best. She's the one that's the most committed.
But sadly, the experience that Kate and I hear many, many times is people will try once.
Mm-hmm. And give up.
Yeah. And you know who's particularly turned off? People who come back from school, who have had a very positive Catholic experience at a Newman Center or a Catholic Student Center. They've been involved. They've been a Eucharistic minister. They've been on parish. These are very engaged people. And they come back and they're shut out of their parishes.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it's for the summer, folks, invite these people in. Please. Father Marco did it successfully. It does not take genius. What it takes is your heart in the right place and the ability to know that these are gifted people. They bring that enthusiasm for life.
And we are going to take a short break. Thank you so much for being with us. We will be right back.
Send us out, O Lord, today, that we might have life, everlasting life. You came to us, O Lord, so that all might have life, that God might us life. Lord, send us to the world.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our guests from the Department of Parish Life and Formation. We are delighted to be with you. We've had a wonderful conversation. We have a couple minutes left, but just to let you all know, we will have the suggestions that came up from today's show on our website, so you're most welcome to take a look, yamchicago.org.
And I'm going to throw one question out to this great assembly of people. If each one of us here were to offer one suggestion to a parish regarding the future and the presence of young people, keeping in mind that when the clock strikes midnight on July 1, 2011, the Archdiocese of Chicago's strategic plan is going to kick in, and the immediate object of our ministry will be adolescents to people up to the early years of young adulthood, 24. What would you recommend and suggest, practically speaking, to parishes about that, their relationship to and their outreach to this generation of people? Who wants to swing first? Rita. Well, Rita Catton from the Office of Councils.
I would like the council to invite a group of young adults to a meeting to do a round table, talk about what they see as possibilities for this next year, but also do it with a group of high school kids because they have a lot of great ideas. But let the council take a – parish pastoral councils are about the pastoral life of the parish, and they're to look to the future. So bring them in, listen to them. But you got to listen to them and not have all the answers. So even if you think it's a wild idea, take it down and think about it and let them give you a little more detail out and have them be part of the planning. And they can, you know, come up with ideas and ways to do it. But that's part of the role of the council. They're supposed to be consulting with the people of the parish. So do it.
Okay.
Just one thought.
You
You know, I think of how we were talking earlier about, you know, what does it mean to be Catholic? And I think of architectural tours that are offered here in Chicago. And what if parishes were to offer architectural tours of what it means to be Catholic to young adults? And it could begin with just the actual building itself and the art. I mean, these young adults love to have a year in Europe when they're studying in their 20s. Let's start here in their home. And let's look at that and then see where that conversation might go into other things Catholic, outreaches, ministries, perhaps music. Heaven knows they love music. You know, find an architectural guide of what it means to be Catholic, and maybe in Chicago. So if you're a new young person coming here because of job relocation, you'd be oriented to your community. If you're newlyweds and have just moved in, you got married somewhere else, you grew up somewhere else, and now all of a sudden you're getting reoriented to a new community. And don't just do this once every 20 years. Try doing it maybe cyclically. Have, you know, some period of the year where we have an architectural tour program and anyone can participate, but particularly young adults.
Great. I would say that if you don't have a youth group or a teens group, make sure that you ask your coordinators for ministers, community ministers, ushers, lectors, whatever, to stop by the confirmation class and to invite them to be ministers of communion, to be ushers, to explain to them what that means. And also, when you announce it on the pulpit, and you're inviting people to get involved, make sure to say we're looking especially for people under 24. So that's going to change their mindset, because every time that they listen to an announcement or an invitation to be part of one of the committees or whatever, they always think that this is for the grow-ups, this right. is for the adults, this is for grandma and grandpa, that they want to be in church all day. But when you say this is for you guys under 24, they're going to say, I mean, something got to be wrong here. how come that they don't want grandma, grandpa anymore? They want me to do this. And, well, hopefully, if you don't have the youth group or the teens group, soon you're going to have young people serving in Mass, and that's going to make a great, great impression in the community.
Exactly.
I think it's also to be very intentional. Right. Intentional of what we're doing, inclusive, and offer the opportunities for continual growth and learning, no matter what we do in the parish life, and within our own departments. Okay. You know, I think that that's a critical piece. You know, and
intentional. This is your plan. We're going to do this.
And include them from the get-go. Don't plan it without them. Because if you plan it without them, it's not going to function. Not there. It may work for a little bit, but it'll fall apart because it's really never been theirs to begin with.
One thing very concrete related to that, we have an opportunity every Friday at 7:15. We have the Rosary at Broadview Detention Center. These are and I'm amazed how young adults and youth and especially high schoolers. We have a lot of schools who come even in the winter, and it's not just Catholics but Jewish people and all kinds of faith. And it is it's a great opportunity to be there to see the realities of what happened during deportation and pray together. And we have some groups who go back to the school or go back to the churches and they do reflection. Mm-hmm. So that's something very concrete to it's available anytime. And we already gave our phone number. If you can just go to the website also to find out about that. Any Friday, whether it's 10 below zero or 100 degrees, anytime during the year. So that's a very concrete opportunity for young adults.
Okay, and I'd like to add too, Father Marco, we had a conversation about, you had said, offer guidance, you know, help people, steer them correct, you know, just kind of make sure we're all on the same page and support the process. I'm going to add to that, offer support, that all the staff needs to do in many cases is just say yes. Just say yes and allow the young adult to make it happen, because again, they are adults, right, and good things can happen. And Father Cusick, I've heard you say, though, if you can only do one thing, improve the quality of liturgy. Exactly. Make Mass an event. I mean, right. Mass itself is a wonderful, beautiful expression of who we are as God's people. But if we could improve the quality of the hospitality, which we all can, of the quality of the music, the quality of the preaching, those are what young adults are looking for.
Exactly. Well, I would add one. And it's what I call the Jesus method of organizing.
I've heard this.
The Lord Jesus did not put a sign on a palm tree. All those who want to be apostles, sign up here. And when in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is in the synagogue at Capernaum, and he's handed the roll, the scroll, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, he reads from it, and he hands the scroll back to the attendant. The sacred scripture says, all eyes were fixed on him. The next line is not, now that I have your undivided attention, there'll be a meeting Tuesday night in the basement of the synagogue on apostleship. Bring a friend. No. How did we get around this table today? Because the Lord Jesus at one time in human history did direct personal invitation to a small group of people. He pulled after a large group of people began to follow. Mm-hmm. And he said, Elena, Mary Lou, Rita, Elsie, Marco, Kate, follow me, and I'll show you what life can be. When Father Marco talked about Good Shepherd, he invited people, younger people, into the life of Catholic parishes. Ladies and gentlemen, if it was good for Jesus, it's got to be the way we do it. Direct personal invitation to the young parents who are not in a foot race either. Many catechists today say the little kids, we can't get them in church because mom and dad don't go to church. Mm-hmm. Invite them into a function in the parish. The young college person, the immigrant, the people who feel that they're not worthy, invite them.
Yep.
Give them a job. Sure. Everybody is worthy because there's only one reason why we're all worthy. We are the daughters and sons of God. And it doesn't come with a college education. It doesn't come with a green card. It doesn't come with anything more than the simple fact that we are born into the world created by our God. And that is the only criteria that we need on Sunday morning. But people need to be invited. Jesus did it, and guess what? It's our turn.
And that strategy is explained in great detail in the book that Father Cusick, you and I wrote not that long ago, called, I'm going to slide this right in there, the little commercial, The Basic Guide to Young Adult Ministry. So if a parish is looking to do more for its young adults and there's not a lot of time or whatever, if you can just gather a few people or just get one copy of the book and take a look at one piece of the book, it talks right. about working with volunteers, it talks about finding young adults, really grooming them, inviting them into various positions. We lay out a seven-stage strategy for regenerating parish life, which is really, really key to what we're trying to do with that new year at the pastoral plan. We also can help you create things like listening sessions, and we'd love to co-host events with you. We have a program called, it's just for curious Catholics that young adults lately have been asking for, and right. Father Cusick has been doing an explanation, the Catholic Mass with an explanation that so many people are just enlightened by. Co-hosting Theology on Tap, that's another opportunity. So there are ways that we can work with you. We would be honored to do that. Everyone around the table would be honored to work with you in any way that we can. Right. So we are here for you.
And if you go to archchicago.org and look under the different departments, you will find all of the departments that were around this table today there to serve all of us. Personally, Kate, I need to thank these wonderful people yes. for us to pull together this talent from very, very busy people is not an easy thing to do. And so Marco and Elena and Mary Lou and Rita and Elsie, you're a blessing to me personally. I go to department meetings because you give me life, and that's a blessing. Thank you for being here, but more importantly, thank you for what Kate and I see you do for God's people. And my thanks to Kate, who's just been an incredible blessing in my life, as working in young adult ministry for over 22 years. So,
blessings love you to all.
Blessings to all.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, you are the way.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
To live your truth.
Send us a your Spirit, send us to shine, radiant with your glory.